heard about one of our romantic rituals this morning that we always kiss, that we always pray and then we kiss. We've done that since we first got engaged. We waited to kiss until we were engaged, and so we're making up for lost time. Mm-hmm. So 40 years of that intentionality. And people oftentimes ask Bill, like, do you even kiss her when you're angry?
You know, upset? Yeah, I had one lady really concerned. She goes, now, you say you kiss every time you pray. Like, do you do that when you're upset at each other? And I said, well, absolutely, because it's a commitment we made, not a convenience.
Yeah.
And it is hard to stay mad at somebody you know you're going to kiss in a few hours.
That's
so
right.
It does
That's
help.
Right.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we love about being authors is we, like, get to, like, research, and then the best of the research we get to apply to our life too. And there are some studies that I came across, like when I did Red Hot Romance Tips, I found out that couples, that if you just give a hug, even a 5-second hug, it lowers your stress, and it lowers the stress of the person you're hugging, and it raises their confidence level, makes them braver. So just even a 5-second hug is going to impact your marriage. And then 52 Ways to Wow Your Husband, read a study, Women's Health published the results of a common sense study that revealed that women who greeted their spouse, good morning, started their day, had better days than those who didn't. Of the couples who say good morning to each other, 94% rate their relationship as excellent. And so as simple as a good morning will raise the like the opportunity for you to have a long-lasting love. And then Bill loves this stat that he came across.
It turns out that men who kiss their wives before they go to work in the morning live on average 5 years longer than men who don't do that.
Yeah. So we want you to stand up.
Yep, we want you to live longer.
So we want you to give a 5-second hug, and then...
One, two, two and a half, three... 1, 4, 5, and now, man, you can kiss your wives.
And say good morning.
Good morning. Well done. Do you have the brochure?
What are we looking
That's
for?
That's right. So I have just a couple of introductory comments before we jump in.
There it is.
Thank you. First of all, I appreciate what Misa, what you shared with us, that don't try to remember everything from the weekend. As you go through, there'll be two or three things that really stick out to you. And that's why on the back of your booklet, we have this action steps page. That's just for you to write down the things that you want to personally remember and work on. Okay, this is not an assignment. There's no test on whether you got it all right. But as you go through, things are going to stick out to you. Those are things you want to write down and just work on those. Okay, because again, it's so true that sometimes we come to events like this and we think all we have to do is get everything right. And that sets you up for failure. So just don't go there. Just pick one or two things from the weekend you're going to work on and let God bless those. And then before we start, I just want to speak to those in the room who are very logical and very process-oriented, and you like everything to go in order.
We're going to mess
okay.
you up today.
Yeah, because we're going to go off order, and I'm telling you ahead of time so you can prepare. Okay, so you don't go, what are you doing?
You missed some stuff.
Yeah, okay, so just, we are going to be on these two pages, but we've decided to change the order a little bit. So if you're one of those process people, just take a deep breath. Whisper to yourself, it's going to be okay. And you will go home with all the blanks filled in.
Yeah. And we're going to be a little bit English, you know, driving on the wrong side of the road here.
Yeah,
today.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're going to start with the Get Fit part of the program this morning because you have wonderful surprises at your door today.
Right. So again, we're talking about how to keep our hearts connected because, again, when your hearts are connected as a married couple, everything else kind of falls in place. And it's what makes marriage different than every other relationship on earth, is that you're not as concerned about. I hope you're not as concerned about keeping your hearts connected with all the people you work with every day, so they understand your feelings and your fears and your hopes and dreams, right? But at home, that counts, and it's really important. So we talked last night about loving with all of your heart. Today we're going to look at loving with all your mind to begin with this morning. So we're going to start with how to get fit together.
And so the focus for forward movement. The longer you know the Ferrells, the more you'll know that we love to be proactive because it just helps keep you on track. And we both wrote, like I have seven simple skills for women, Bill has seven simple skills for men, and pop it down to the next thing there, yeah. And so we looked at, it's funny, it's like a bicycle theme. We looked at what are those seven skills, like the spokes of a wheel. If all the spokes are strong, it moves your life forward. And if one of the spokes is broken or like bent, you kind of get stuck in life and you aren't able to move forward as a couple or as a family. And so these are the seven skills that like we think that are pivotal to move your life forward. And so you're going to be successful as an individual and as a couple if you're steadfast, if you're reliable, if you're dependable, people want to give you opportunities. If you're knowledgeable, if you seek out wisdom. Last time we mentioned that LoveWise, our theme verse is the one who gets wisdom loves life. Who wants to love life? Yeah, all of us do. Well, wisdom is the key that unlocks that. And then intentionality. Those who are proactive are able to set and then reach goals. And then if you're likable, if you have strong relationship skills, it means your marriage is going to be stronger, your family is going to be stronger, your business is going to be stronger. And then if you are lively, if you're healthy, you're going to be able to live longer and stronger. And then if you're effective, if you can squeeze the most out of every day, then you'll be able to gain all that God has for you. And then lastly, if you're discerning, if you have good decision-making skills, that good decision-making skills lowers your stress and raises your enjoyment level in life. So take a moment, and each one of you as an individual, which one of those, if you focus on this next year, would make forward movement in your life as an individual? Can you take just a moment and write it down, circle it, highlight it, little asterisk.
I just put music on.
Now, Chase, take a moment and share with each other what you wrote down. So we're going to look at three things that will help you move your life forward. And so just take a picture of you and your spouse on a tandem bike. It's going to go better if both those wheels are working well, right? And so one of the things that Bill and I have done our whole married life, and I actually started it the year before we got married when I was 19, and that is we always choose a word of the year and a verse of the year. And I've been doing that for now. I'm 60, so that's been a while, right? And so I have to tell you a little story about why this is so important. And one of the reasons why is sometimes you start out with good intentions and you are working your plan, and then like the stress of life hits. And so about 15 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, I became a part of First Place for Health. And a friend of mine, Carol, noticed the stress in my life. We were at a conference, and she was the president of First Place for Health. And she's like, do you want to go prayer walking with me tomorrow at 6 a.m.? And a group of us are going prayer walking. And I'm like, yeah, I want to spend more time with Carol. She runs this great international organization. I could really learn from her. If I have to walk with her to do that, that's great. And she's 15 years older than me. The girl walked me into the ground. I was like huffing and puffing and like dying. And I'm thinking, wow, like what does this say about, like I used to be an athlete and I'm so not right now. I've spent all my time driving my athlete, three sport athlete sons around, sitting on benches. And so I am more out of shape than I realized. And it was kind of a little bit of a wake-up call. And so I got involved in First Place for Health and began to eat the right things and do the right things. And then about 2 years later, you know, I've been trying to work the plan, but then we started traveling more. I had a bunch of book deadlines. I'm like, oh, like what is one donut or a box? You know, and what is, you know, one thin mint or the whole sleeve? And I was, oh, I don't need to work out. I have like that book I have to finish. And the wheels just started coming off the bus. And we were at a place like this. It was up but higher in elevation. And my heart started going out of rhythm. And my dad died at 62 of a heart attack. And so that kind of got my attention. And I told Bill, like, okay, my heart's like out of rhythm. I know it's time for us to go speak. You go ahead and, you know, go over there and get everything set up. If I don't show up, just call 911. I'm just going to lay here and pray for a miracle. So God gave me that miracle, but it got my attention. And so I went to Wellness Week that year. It was kind of like a boot camp for authors and speakers. And so I went to Wellness Week, and they took my blood, and they called me 5 minutes later, like right after the blood probably came out of the, you know, the results. So the nurse, like in a panic, calls me. She's like, did you know that you are diabetic? You need to like call, like, well, I've been borderline for a few years. And she's like, oh, now you're so past the border, girl. You need to get to the hospital right now. You need to like call your doctor. I'm like, I'm in the middle of Texas. She's like, you need to do something. And so I'm like, okay. And so I go downstairs and I like start crying to my friends that are there. And Vicky, who is now the president of First Place for Health, she was then the trainer. And so she's like, Pam, you work out. You're like at all the workout things. I see your heart. There's a thin girl in there. She's just bubble wrapped right now. You just have to find her. And I'm like, I know you're trying to encourage me, but I have to eat things that taste like cardboard the rest of my life. I was like depressed. And so like if there would have been Ben and Jerry's, I would have eaten the whole carton, the whole gallon. But there wasn't any. All there was were carrots around. And so I went upstairs and I like started whining, complaining. I'm like, Lord, I wrote this book about being strong, smart, and savvy, and I'm not strong, I'm not smart, and I'm not savvy. I'm like, I'm a total epic failure here. I like encourage women to be their best, and I'm not my best right now. You should just take me to heaven. Just take me to heaven, Lord. And I go, that's stinking thinking. Okay, total stinking thinking. Okay, what do I need to do here? I'll call Bill. He'll pray. So I called Bill and told him what's going on. He prayed. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to just pray right now and go to sleep. And because your word says that you'll even minister to me in my sleep. And so I pray that you would get my bad attitude out of the way somehow by morning. Help me hear your voice louder than any other voice. And so I went to sleep. And I heard, so here's the verse. You have to be willing to pray honestly at times like that. And so create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit that's within me. So I go to sleep, and about 4 in the morning, my cell phone buzzes. And I pick it up, and there's a text message. And I'm a part of a text message devotional group. And the woman loved a lot of my writing. And so she wanted to know if I would let her use quotes. I'm like, sure, but sign me up for the group. And so it was that woman, and her text went off. And this is what that text message said on my phone. Get up. God has set his alarm clock, and it's time to overcome every weight, every infirmity, every sickness, every bondage that has tried to strangle the physical, emotional, spiritual life of you. It doesn't matter how long you've been bound up. Stop hitting this news button and get up. So guess what I did? Got up. That's right. Got up. And what I did is I called Bill and I said, wow, you know, every year we do word of the year, we do verse of the year. And since that time, we've also added a motto of the year, a song of the year, and like a, some kind of a art thing that we either hang on the wall or put on our desk, you know, a mug, a coffee cup, a t-shirt, anything that we can wear and see that will remind us of our word of the year and our verse of the year. And then the fragrance of the year or essential oil of the year, I've added that in too. I mean, if your word is grace and you're spraying grace on yourself all year, it's just, it's great. And then the most important is your clarifying question of the year. And so I called Bill and I said, wow, I really think that our word needs to be strong or stronger. And he's like, I'm with you. Like, yes, I need to get stronger. You need to get stronger. Our ministry, our marriage, our finances, like our family, like strong. Yes, that's a great thing to do. And then we chose this verse. I have to go back and find it. Be strong and brave. I wasn't feeling strong or brave. Don't be afraid or panic. I was afraid that I was going to die. I was very panicked over it. And for the Lord your God, I'm with you, Pam and Bill, who travel 250 days a year. So that was our verse out of Joshua 1:9. And so we took this picture and we bought a weight and put it on our desk so we could both use it. And it was a reminder to do our weight works. And then I got the t-shirt. I got a mug that says stronger. Like the theme was stronger, stay stronger. Everybody in our family got jewelry that said stronger. Like I just worked the plan. And at the end of that year, but I am asking one clarifying question before I said or did anything. It was, will this make me stronger? Will this make my marriage stronger? Will this make my ministry stronger? Will this make my family stronger? Stronger, stronger, stronger. At the end of that year, I had lost 50 pounds. I've kept it off now, a total of 70 pounds off now. And I went from like all bad numbers to all good numbers. And one of the things that I did in that is like I got a good doctor. And so I went to Dr. Mark Stangler, and one of the conversations was, so Pam, tell me about the medication you're on. And I like shared that I had acne since I was 14. Like I always say that I have a perfect face for radio. So I have acne since I was 14, so I've been on antibiotics. He's like, you've been on antibiotics like for decades? Like you are totally wrecked your gut. That's why all this is happening. And I'm like, but I have to be on TV. He's like, girl, are you getting what you're saying here? You're like, you're saying you would rather take antibiotics and die? Like, and I'm like, oh, you're right. That is stinking thinking. I will die, and I'll be in my casket, and people will come along but say, oh, but she has such a clear face. Yeah, you're right. So, yes, work the plan. Sometimes you have to invite people in to help you work the plan, get experts, and ask that clarifying question of the year. So I want to give you just a moment for you to write down what word might symbolize the direction that you feel like God is calling you to go in this next year. Okay, take just a moment, each of you. This afternoon, you can talk about this on your blanket time. But yes, write down that word that you think that would move your life forward. And then you can look for a verse of the year this afternoon. And who are my bowlers? Who likes to bowl in the room? Is anybody bowlers? Awesome. Okay, I'm like really bad at bowling. These people would be your tutors. I'm like so bad at bowling.
Yeah, she didn't ask if you're good at it, just if you like
it. Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. Like my grandkids have bumpers when they bowl. I have bumpers when I bowl. And, you know, that means that you can throw the ball, and no matter how bad you are, it bumps in, then bumps in, then bumps in, then bumps in. Woo, yay, strike, yeah. And that's what the word of the year does for your life. You can kind of like, I'm going that direction, but if you get off track, the word of the year will help you get back on track, and get that wheel in the chain, get you moving again. So word of the year, verse of the year, that step forward for focusing your life.
And you will notice that Pam and I tend to be very intentional about how we live life, and we give you lots of steps that you can take. The primary reason we do that is we cannot trust our instincts. Like some of you grew up in really good homes. You had great role models as parents. Maybe you had great role models as grandparents. And if that's your story, you have instincts you can work with. Like the stuff comes natural to you that's strong and healthy and that works well. Pam and I don't have that privilege. We both grew up in crazy homes. I grew up in a home, my mom is the dominant personality in my home, but my mom literally does not make sense. Okay, she grew up in a really difficult home, went through a lot of abuse when she was young, and her answer to that was to set up her own reality. Because my mom is a natural leader, but she's really wounded. And so, like, I grew up with this logic that doesn't make sense. My mom currently only eats white food because she has white skin. My mom told me I should not be working in an office on Navajo Road because I'm not an Indian. And if I continue working on Navajo Road, bad things are going to happen to me. The most current thing right now is my mom believes that if the trash man can smell her trash, they'll send authorities to her house. So my mom literally washes her trash before it goes in the trash can and treats it with Simple Green. So she does have the best smelling trash can in North America, I guarantee it. And I could go on and on. Like, this is not a recent thing. It's not a new thing. It's been my whole life. And so I grew up in this crazy home. And my dad is a brilliant engineer who has no idea how to handle relationships. So anytime conflict starts, he disappears. So my mom just ran this crazy home, and my dad disappeared. And so, you know, my view of what marriage was all about was pretty crazy growing up. Like when my parents got mad, they would start throwing things. So, like, I've got good instincts because I've been dodging food and plates my whole life. And so you can imagine, you know, first time I heard men tend to marry women like their moms, I was like, singleness is sounding pretty good. Because if I had to get married to someone like my mom, I would have, like, freaked out. And when you grow up in a crazy home, you carry triggers with you. And so a couple of my triggers, I'm the youngest in my family, so my biggest trigger is if I ever feel left out of something important in my life, I get really frustrated. And I can trace it back. Got any youngest in the family? Like you guys get it. When you're the youngest in the family, people don't take you seriously. You know, you say, hey, I got a great idea. I know what we should do. And people are like, well, you know, we'll think about it and get back to you. And we're like, what? No, I got it. Come on. And they're always pushing you off. And then my mom, in her pain, she made all the decisions in my home growing up, and the decisions were crazy. Okay, so I have this trigger inside of me. If decisions are made for me that I don't get to be a part of and I feel left out, I get frustrated, and it can easily turn to anger. And of course, I married a very decisive woman, right? Because I have to have somebody in my life that can push that button, right? So of course I did. Right? And then the other part of my home is that, I mean, you can imagine with the way my mom thinks, like the health in our home was not a real high priority. And high blood pressure runs in my family. So my grandfather on my dad's side died in about his mid-40s because of a stroke. My dad had a stroke at 48 years old. And I had decided, you know, I'm just not going to participate. I'm just not going to do this. So I was going to be an athlete, I was going to eat well, and I was just not going to be part of the high blood pressure club. Well, in my mid-40s, I became part of that club. And for me, it was kind of a panic thing. Like, I do not want to have high blood pressure. I don't want this to be part of my deal. I don't want to repeat what my grandfather, my dad did. Like, I just don't want this to be a part of who I am. And so while Pam was working with all of her health issues, you know, for me, it was like, okay, I need to focus on this too. I need to make sure I'm strong. And it hit for me. We were out on a tour. We're doing media and we're doing conferences and things were just kind of on a roll. Because as you can imagine, one of Pam's and my liabilities is we live pretty fast. And we do that for two reasons. One, because we like it. We like living fast. We like going because we think life's really interesting. But we're also staying ahead of the dysfunctional wave that we grew up around. Okay, so because if we slow down too much, all that weird stuff from our past starts to become part of our thinking process, and it's better just to keep moving. So we live pretty fast. Well, that can have some significant impact on you physically.
Yeah, burning the candle at both ends, it can impact you eventually. And we were out doing a media tour for Men Are Like Waffles and Like Spaghetti. And at the same time, Bill and I, we had just taken a walk around the community, and we were walking, and like I was saying, wow, it just feels like our life is a beautiful hand-crocheted Afghan. Anybody have an Afghan at your house or a quilt? And so I was saying, oh, it just feels like all the pieces are working well together. You know, you're pastoring the largest church in our city, and our kids are all making good choices. I'm loving being director of your women's ministry at your church, and Men Are Like Waffles and Like Spaghetti's on the bestseller list, and our kids are making good choices, and they're all teenagers. That's like a little mini miracle. And I just started a group called Seasoned Sisters for women over 40 and in life's second half, and it's called Seasoned Sisters because like seasoning, you pour seasoning on food and you know the food tastes better, you sprinkle women in the world that are godly, it makes the world better. And then also seasoned is like plants that have grown up that are fragrant and then dried up and then pulverized, and that's a little bit about life's second half does to a woman. And then sistering is like we built our house in San Marcos, remember? And so when you build a house, you put 2x4s around all the doors and all the windows that are hammered together, and you do that so they can bear more weight. And the building term for that is called sistering. So seasoned sisters, we're hammering our lives together so we can all bear more weight. And that's really what we're doing here this weekend, is hammering our lives together as friends, as couples, so that we can bear more weight. So I had this conversation. I'm like, honey, it's just like life can't get any better than this. And then it's as if someone grabbed a hold of one string of that Afghan and began to unravel our life as we knew it. We were on that media tour. Bill's not feeling well.
Right. So I was pretty sure I had a sinus infection, so I went to the doctor, and the doctor asked me, how long have you had high blood pressure? I was like, I don't have high blood pressure. He said, well, you do today. And I'm one of the fortunate ones. I can tell when my blood pressure's up because my joints ache, and it feels like somebody's pushing their thumbs behind my eyeballs. So I can tell. And it was very erratic for a while, and my plan was, I'm going to go see my doctor, we are going to take care of this, and we'll just get it back in the line, and we'll just keep motoring ahead. Well, it didn't come back in the line right away. I had a tough time getting it back under control, and my doctor finally looked at me and said, Bill, you're a people helper, you're working the equivalent of two full-time jobs right now. If somebody came to you presenting all the symptoms that you're presenting, what would you say to them? And I said, well, significant life change is in order. And that led to some pretty tough decisions in our life. Again, I loved being a senior pastor, but I realized I'm either going to have to give up the writing and speaking thing that Pam and I are doing, or I'm going to have to cut back on being a pastor. And this is a challenge for Pam and I, because all of us, we have two types of difficulties we face in life. You have the surprises, like the crisis hits your life, something unexpected hits, and it forces you to react. That's one difficulty that we all have. The other is just the lingering difficulties. They're always under the surface, and they pop up periodically depending on what you're going through. Well, the two things that Pam and I struggle with is, if I ever show weakness, that affects Pam in a big way, because Pam wonders, can I trust him? Okay, and it's all traced back to her dad, who was a crazy alcoholic. But that's just something that lingers in our relationship. So as long as I'm strong, we're good. I just can't guarantee that's always going to be the case, because we're all human, amen? Okay, so now I'm facing physical weakness. So it's affecting me, because I got to figure out my health issue. It's also affecting Pam, because she's wondering, first, am I going to live? And second, am I going to be strong enough to keep taking care of her? And then my deal is, if somebody's making decisions for me, I feel left out, and I start getting frustrated, and I will typically shut down. Okay, so now that if I'm weak, what's Pam going to do? Make decisions, right? Because this family's got to keep moving forward. And we have an important ministry, and we're having influence, and we got to make the... Okay, so not only are we facing my health crisis, but we're facing the lingering difficulties that Pam and I live with on a regular basis. And so, make a long story short, I resigned as a senior pastor, which for me was like a death in the family. I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew it's what I needed to do. But at the same time, I feel like I have just lost a dream in my life, even though I knew I was heading for a good thing. And so this whole idea of being strong, it wasn't just physically strong for me. I had to recapture my, you know, my mental strength, my emotional strength, and a spiritual sense of God's calling me to this new season of life. And it's just as exciting as being a senior pastor. So this whole idea of being strong became really important. And so I, when Pam suggested we do strength, I'm like, I am all in. And again, without that intentional sense of I've got a word to follow, I've got a verse to follow, a lot of the issues from the past would just come back and would have rained down on us. Now, I know a lot of you, you're compassionate people, so I just want you to know I am on high blood pressure medicine. I'm on a regular workout routine, eat pretty well. My last blood pressure reading was 133 over 85. So it's back down. It was way higher than that when it got diagnosed. So right now, things are so far so good. Yeah.
And during that time, Bill, so he resigned as a senior pastor. And then there's this little window in time where our son Caleb was hit illegally in a football game, rushed to Children's Hospital, ICU, blood transfusion and all that. And we were down to like one income. And so we needed to have groceries on the table. And our son, I got a phone call that said I was out handling the speaking for this weekend because Bill wasn't feeling well, Caleb wasn't feeling well. And so Caleb was on bed rest for 8 weeks. They were home together. I'm going out to get groceries because, like, we have to provide for the family. And I got a phone call that our senior son had a injury onto his knee and a concussion from football. And so that might end his opportunities for a scholarship. And then our junior college son, the next night, I got a phone call that he had injured his shoulder. He's the quarterback, might end his opportunities for a college scholarship. And we're down to one income. We were praying for scholarships at that point for those two boys. And then the third day I got off the airplane and I got a phone call from my brother's wife that my brother, who was 40, had just had a heart attack. Could I come take care of his kids? Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the theater? Mm-hmm. And, you know, who do I save first? And there must have been something on my face that showed the stress of our life. And so people would say, Pam, how you doing? And I didn't know how to answer them because the answer was like too long, too personal, too depressing, like why wreck their day? And so I began to pray, God, how do you want me to answer these people? And God said, what kind of person do you want to be? And I said, God, I want to be the kind of person that can choose joy no matter what life sends your way. Because the word of the Lord says in Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need strength right now, Lord. So I choose joy. And so people would say, Pam, how you doing? And I began to answer them, choosing joy. So girls, try it. Girls, how you doing? Choosing joy. Okay, it works a lot better with the hand flip, so do it again. So how you doing? Choosing joy. Yeah. And so...
Yeah, guys, we're not going to do that. We're good, right?
Yeah.
How are we doing, guys? Good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so... choosing joy, good. That's what we decided that we were going to do. And you need information to make good decisions at this point. And so there's some things that you can go get that will help you stay fit. There we go. You can get the right doctor. And that's when I went to get Dr. Stengler. And, you know, like talking to Mark Stengler on the phone, he said, just only eat, you know, lots of vegetables, a little bit of fruit, lean meats, and just try to avoid grains until you get back to see me in 3 weeks. Well, in those 3 weeks, I lost 25 pounds. I mean, it's like, wow, get a different doctor, whoa. And then get informed, like know your numbers, like get blood tests done so you know what you're dealing with. And then get sleep. Did you know that people that get 8 hours of sleep a night are thinner than people who don't get 8 hours of sleep? I'm like, the napping diet plan. Maybe I can like this one, yeah. And then get water, you know, drink 64 ounces or take your weight and cut it in half, and that's how many ounces a day that you should have of water. And then get the right food, you know, mentioned what that was, that our plate should look like a rainbow, not a bowl full of Skittles, but like fruits and vegetables, yeah. And then get moving. So Bill and I are like, okay, what are we going to do together that can bless our relationship? So, you know, we love kayaking, we love bikes, so we bought bikes. I bought tennis shoes. I actually learned to run again. I used to think that the only need to run is if somebody was chasing you with a gun. So we kind of got active. And then, you know, get a makeover. If it's going to make you feel better, like, do it. And then here's the thing that's really important, and I want to compliment you at this church. Get real friends. Get friends you can be authentic with. I mean, just like the Fulkersons video there, they were very authentic. Mm-hmm. And you all are like that. And you will live longer because you go to the church you go to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want you everybody to take a picture of this, because at your blanket time, this is what you're going to talk about. What do you need to go get so that you both can live longer and stronger for God? Okay?
You want them, you give them your assignment.
I did. They take a picture.
Do they know they're supposed to ask the question on the page?
Oh, right. Yeah. So what's on your page there, that is the afternoon assignment. What do each of you need to go get? So put a little star, a little asterisk, because that's what you're going to talk about this afternoon.
And like so far, this is all a lot of work. Like if you're gonna have your word of the year, verse of the year, that's a lot of work. If you're gonna figure out what is your plan for staying healthy, that's a lot of work. And you know how, as well as I do, when marriage starts to feel like too much work, then you get frustrated. You're like, I already have a job. Okay, so the other part of being fit is making sure you give your relationship the time that it needs. Okay, because you didn't get married so you could ignore each other. And one of the biggest obstacles to intimacy is responsibility. Yeah, I've met very few couples who just like were having a great time together and then decided it wasn't working. What happens is you get married, you start loading up on responsibility, and then eventually you stop having time for one another because responsibility pushes all the time. Like, do any of you have kids that have come to you and said, you know, Mom and Dad, we're really concerned about your relationship and we want to make sure you have the time that you need? So once a week, we're going to put ourselves to bed early and we're going to make sure we're not a problem so that you guys can enjoy your relationship. Any of you have kids have ever done that? Exactly. Like, they're just, serious? Have your kids done that?
That is awesome.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Wow. That's amazing.
That's so good.
Because kids love you, and all they want is everything you have to give. They want all your time, all your wisdom, all your money. And if you're going to stay in love, it's because you decided you're going to have time for you. Early on in your relationship, it happens spontaneously. As you progress through the life cycle, it only happens if you decide to keep it alive. And we want to tell you, from our experience, when you spend time as a couple, God gives you that time back for your responsibility. I don't know exactly how it happens, but God has a way of giving that time back. And so make your relationship a priority, and we want to give you ideas on how do you team up for transformation by having time together as a couple. Hey, this acrostic is in Red Hot Monogamy, so if you want to look at it farther, you can do that. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, it's very interesting. Many of you have heard we live on a boat. And this week, what was the big news of the week weather-wise? The wind. Okay, well, when you're on a boat, the wind just, it pushes the boat all over the place. And one of the things we depend on are the lines that go from the boat to the dock to keep our boat from getting damaged. Every one of those lines is a three-strand cord. It's three strands that are woven together. It's practically indestructible. And it is amazing to watch the boat move and the lines just keep it from hitting the dock and creating damage. That's what happens when you decide, you know, we're going to be together. I don't know what all we're going to face, but you, me, and Jesus, we are going to be together. We are connecting our lives together. We're going to make sure they stay connected together. And one of the primary ways you do that is by making sure you have time as a couple. So the obvious question becomes, how much time does it take? Okay, so we're going to give you an acrostic, four different types of time that will keep you connected as a couple. The first one is 10 or 20 minutes a day to chat. Okay, this is you just looking each other in the eyes and saying, so how was today? And how are you? And guys, this is one of those skills that we need to focus on to make our marriages successful. Okay, because honestly, we probably could go without this one. Okay, like if I walked up to you and said, hey, I want to hear all about your week. Like, give me all the details, how you felt and everything you thought. Yeah, you're like, no, we're not going to go there. Right? Like, because it's not how guys talk to each other. Like, I might say, so Chet, are you good? Yeah, thumbs up, we're good. Okay, because Chet's up, I mean, he's a stand-up guy. If he wasn't doing well, he'd tell me. Okay? Yeah, like, as guys, we're much simpler than this. Okay, but one of the primary ways women build trust is they connect their lives to the people they care about. Okay, if your wife's here, she cares about you. So she wants to keep her life connected to you. So this is just 10 or 20 minutes checking in with each other, keeping yourselves connected. Okay, and guys, this is something we, like our wives will cooperate readily if we will engage at this level. And I do want you guys to know I've negotiated this down. Yeah, I went to Pam one day. I said, Pam, for you to do your best, how much time would you like every day just you and I visiting with each other?
Like in a perfect world?
Yeah, because you're doing your best.
Like vacation, I don't know, 90 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, I've got it down to 10 to 20 here, guys. So this is a starting point. This is not problem solving. This is not fixing stuff for the day. This is just you checking in. How you doing? How'd your day go?
And then so what's the best time of the day for you? I just want you to write down for that 10 or 20 minutes. Is it going to be like in the morning over coffee? Is it going to be, hey, a phone call at lunchtime? Is it going to be like when, you know, get the kids busy right when you both walk in the door and have this like a moment to breathe, you know, maybe some appetizers there? Or is it going to be like after you put the kids to bed, right before you go to sleep? So what's your best prime time of the day for 10 to 20 minutes? And just put a.m., noon, p.m. You can work out the details today at blanket time, but a.m., noon, p.m. Each of you write something down. And then I is invest in a weekly date night. And this one, Will and I actually found that it's important for us to have two times during the week. Like we always have Thursday date night, and we put that in our relationship the moment we got married, mostly when we started having kids is when it was necessary. Before that, every night was a date night, you know. But Thursday night, when we started having kids, we trained the kids that you get the privilege of going to bed early on Thursday night, and you get to have this Thursday night toy box that you only get to play with on Thursday night. That's what made it fun and different. And you can stay up as long as you want, as long as you stay on that bed and don't get off. If you get off, I get the toys, light goes off, you don't have any more fun. It was amazing how cooperative toddlers even then were. And we just kept that Thursday night going. It was working so well. As the kids got older, Thursday night was the night we encouraged them to have their mentoring meeting with their mentors, or like their youth group activity, or Bill, when he was needing some Pam time, he would like pay for movie tickets for the kids. Right. So invest in that weekly date night.
Like when your kids are young, find a way. Like create a co-op with friends. Like we didn't have grandparents we could rely on, so we created a co-op of friends where we would take all the kids one night and other friends would take all the kids another night. Because if you got two or three in the house,
I'd have 10.
Like what, six or seven? Like just load up and give other parents a night off. Or if you're a grandparent, how many grandparents do we have in the room? Okay, let's help them out. Okay, like being a grandparent is amazing. Like I had no idea that it was like sanctified hero worship. That's awesome. Like, I showed, they're like, Papa, my grandkids. And I don't have to discipline them because our kids are all good parents. So, man, it's all fun and donuts as far as I'm concerned. Right? Like, it's just cool. But one of the things we're committed to do is as often as possible, we take the kids so our kids can have time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. We're going to be back in Louisville, Kentucky in late November. My son has already called. Dad, can you guys take the kids on the 28th? Yeah, and I'm like, we're on it. I'm sorry you got to miss out on the fun, but we're on it. And so we've got another son that lives there. We're taking their kids to their house so that our married son can have a night off with his wife.
Pretty much every time we come, we do that for the kids. Usually we'll pay for the date, too, because they're stretched financially.
And when your kids become teenagers, be bold. Okay, your teenagers are growing up in an overexposed world. They're hearing more messages about sex than they know how to process, and most of them are not correct. Okay, I don't know who got the idea that, you know, in 2 minutes you can have a great sexual experience. I mean, that's what they see on TV. It's what they hear in songs. You know it's not possible. But they're hearing it over and over again. And who are they going to go ask? When they have serious questions, who are they going to talk to? I wanted to make sure my sons knew they could come talk to me. And one of the ways I made that happen is I would tell them when they got to be teenagers, hey, guys, you know, Thursday night, it's date night. Okay, you guys might want to turn your radios up louder, or you might want to go see a movie because Mom and I are going to have fun, and we don't want to embarrass you. Because I want them to know if they have questions, I'm okay. Like, come talk to me, and I'll tell you the straight story. But if you're all like, oh, yeah, we don't talk about that at our house, then they're going to go ask somebody else. Okay, so be appropriately bold so your kids know you've still got it going on and you're willing to talk to them about what's going on in their life. Right?
And so I invested in that weekly date night, but Bill and I found that we really needed two times during the week. And one of the reasons that happened is we were out on our 10-year anniversary on the San Diego Bay hornblower cruise, you know, dinner, dancing, all romantic. For us, not romantic for the couple sitting next to us. They started talking about problems with the cars, problems with the kids, problems with the bills, problems with the IRS. Talking about the IRS on your anniversary is a sure mood killer. Mm-hmm. And they start arguing, like, so loud the whole boat was like, awkward, what do we do for these people? They're arguing. And the wife saw what was going on, and she started crying. She's like, we can't argue, it's our anniversary. And so they just quit talking. Held captive on a boat in silence for 2 hours. And our hearts just broke for them because the busyness of life had just pulled them apart. Mm-hmm. And so that's why in the back of all of our books are dinner and date night questions. And in Red Hot Monogamy, we have, you know, coffee and conversation questions as well as hands-on homework, pun completely intended. Mm-hmm. It's homework that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And so we found that for us, we needed a Monday morning marriage meeting. And so that's when we talk about the cars and the kids and the bills and the, you know, just the work side of life so that on Thursday we can actually enjoy each other and talk about us and our relationship. So that's one of the things that's worked for us. And we're actually writing a book, The Marriage Meeting, that we hope to have out by the end of the year. And then M is, so at blanket time, you'll decide your weekly meeting, okay, your marriage date night.
And then a monthly day away for about 8 to 10 hours. And again, guys, this is something we do for our wives because one of the ways God wired women is that their life's all connected. And because their life's all connected, their life tends to grow. So their life gets bigger as time goes on. And periodically, you need to get them away from all the responsibility and away from all that's happening in their life so their life shrinks back down. Because the bigger their life gets, the smaller you get in the picture. Okay, but as you shrink the world back down, suddenly you come back into focus and you remember, oh, yeah, we got married because we like each other. We got married because we love the way we interrupt each other's lives. We have this magic between the two of us. But again, responsibility eats all that up. So about once a month, you want to get away. Go to a park, go camping, go hiking, go even walk the mall. Just away from the responsibility because it shrinks your world back down and it reminds you of why you got married in the first place.
And that monthly day away, sometimes you'll have to be spontaneous. Like, we plan our monthly day away. We get the calendar out. We, like, mark it weeks ahead so that it doesn't get interrupted. And you had to do that to be here. You're very intentional. And, in fact, couples like you who set aside time to get away and invest in your relationship, you have longer lasting love. So turn and tell your spouse, you're so wise to be here with me this weekend. But sometimes, even with those great plans, life interrupts. You know, I'm married to a pastor, and so, I mean, people have crisis, and there's hospital visitation, there's people that, you know, are suicidal, there's, you know, just funerals that happen. And I told Bill, like, if we ever get so busy that taking me to the meal after a funeral, it counts as a date, we're too busy.
Okay? That's not good.
So,
that's not good.
So sometimes life just gets in the way. And it was one of those weeks, and everything we had been just super, super busy is because other people's crises. And so all of our date nights had gotten messed up. Our Monday morning marriage meetings, like, we couldn't even have those. It had been several weeks, and I looked at the calendar. I'm like, oh, wow, it looks like the next 90 minutes are the best shot of having some time with my husband for the next couple weeks. And so I heard Bill's car drive in, and I grabbed the boys, and the boys were in the oasis stage of life. And that's that age that's after preschool and before they're in, you know, 12, 13. And they think all that mom and dad's ideas, fabulous. They're so cooperative. So take advantage of those years. And they're an oasis. And so we, I gathered the boys in the backyard, and I took a piggy bank, and I broke up the piggy bank, and I scattered all the coins into the ice plant. And I said, you guys, there's X amount of dollars hidden in these ice plant, and you can have all that money. One condition: you have to gather up all the money, and Brock, you're really good at math, and it has to add up to at least this amount before anybody can come in the house. Got it? They're like, got it. And so I went to the house. Bill and I had a great, like, wonderful red hot monogamy time, and the kids, like, had lots and lots of money.
Except she put a quarter in her pocket
and walked in the house,
so they couldn't balance the amount.
Right. Desperate women do desperate things, right? They were happy. We were happy. It was all good.
You gonna do the E?
So E is for escape once a year, like this. We actually encourage you to have two escapes. One escape is a getaway, where you just, like, eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired, have red hot monogamy in between, and just recoup, regroup, refresh. And, you know, anniversary, part of your vacation, you know, Christmas getaway, Valentine's Day, just put something like that in your calendar. And then escape to a conference like this, where you get new tools in your toolbox, so that no matter what life sends your way, you're like, oh, this tool might work, because we've been to enough conferences, we've read enough books, we've, like, you know, prayed together, God's given us these new tools, we listen to podcasts, we're, like, focused in, we are putting tools in our tool chest so that we're prepared for whatever life sends our way. So two escapes every year, one to build, one to bless. Okay. And so we want you to think about having some fun together. And so we would love for you to talk right now about TIME. Where do you want to start? In this next year, what do you need to be proactive and put into your relationship? 10 to 20 minutes of talk time every day, investing in that weekly or twice a week date night, the monthly getaway, is it an escape? Okay, so take just a moment and each of you share TIME. Which one's the priority, do you think? Okay, come on back. Come on back. And so some of you might be feeling, wow, like I don't feel very fit. There's a lot of tools that were thrown at us. It feels like we're more at that place that Pam and Bill were talking about where your life is feeling like it's unraveling. I just want to encourage you that God is for you, and he's for your marriage. When we were in that really tough spot, it was a friend of ours that was praying for us when our life was like falling apart and the string was getting pulled and unraveling our life. And she said, wow, today in my quiet time, there's this verse that God brought across my path. And I actually think this verse is for you and Bill. And this is the verse she sent. Therefore, the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, longing to be gracious to you. Therefore, he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect, who look, who long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, his matchless, unbroken companionship. The Lord longs to be good to you. Can you turn to your spouse and just in our way of closing say, God longs to be good to us.
God longs to be good to us.
Bill will pray.
Father, we thank you so much for your willingness to bless marriages. And I just pray you put your hand of favor upon each one in this room and convince them that you long to be good to them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.